So before I dig into the building block we're going to talk about today, which is steadfastness, this past week and even yesterday, I know there were some runners and walkers that overcame some challenges. She's drinking some water right now because she overcame a race challenge. It was very, very good. And she said that they finished the race and they helped everybody else feel so much better about their race because they were willing to come in at the end. And I think there's some value in that, so thank you for doing that. And Jerry did a run walk to finish the Depsy Challenge yesterday. And so he does the right kind of training, which is no training at all. He just goes and runs, you know. And so I don't know if I could actually do that or not. When I don't run, I can't run. And so kudos to you. To run walking the Dempsey Challenge as well. We have Haley and Ashley here who finished a marathon last week, which was pretty powerful to see. So congratulations there. I ran yesterday on 4th Street with Madison, and Haley has been doing training up and down 4th Street for the last 7-8 months. I can't remember how long it's been that she's been running. And so people were coming out beside the road to see if it was Haley running, because they wanted to find out how she did. And Madison was always just like, well, it was my sister, you know. But she did well, and they were all concerned and were happy for you. And so I'm a proud dad, you know. Yeah, and that goes for both Ashley and Haley, because I know how hard they worked. I know how hard it is. And there's others that have overcome things in the past week, whether it was medical, whether there was a challenge in their life. And so I know there's more overcoming that's happening in this church. And it's powerful for me to get to see it. And so I want to celebrate that. And it does tie forward into what we're going to talk about today, which is steadfastness. And that's a great word, steadfast. And so we'll get into that. But I also, before I go there, want to also say that I'm keenly aware that there are some heart struggles that have been going on here too. And I know that we all face things on a regular basis that seem bigger than us. And we have patterns in our life and things that we do that we're always trying to overcome, but it seems as though we just can't get past it. And I feel compelled this morning to pray for us, because I know that we have a loving Heavenly Father who is steady and secure, that He is faithful and just. He's steady in how He meters out His love and forgiveness. We are secure in His goodness and not our own. But I know that we self-convict ourselves all the time in our inabilities to overcome. And we want to do so much more than we do. I want to do so much more than I do. But I know that we can, because in our weakness, in our infirmity, in our inequity with God, He is made strong. His love is evidenced in that. So, if you could bow your heads with me, I want to pray. God, You are a rock. You are solid. You are steady. No matter which way the wind blows, no matter which way our emotions carry us, no matter the challenge or the obstacle, whether we created it or this world handed it to us, whether an attack of the enemy or a life lesson for us to learn with You, God, I praise You that You are steady. Lord, forgive us for when we're not. Lord, I don't know all the circumstances or the reason I feel so compelled to pray, but Lord, You do. I'm praying now for Your Holy Spirit to come and minister. for the healing love of Jesus to be in this place, and for your love and compassion for us to just envelop us today. I thank you that we can pray, and I'm thankful that you've promised to answer. Be with us now as we study more about you. In Jesus' name, amen. So that was free pre-sermon stuff, and so no extra charge for that this week. If nothing else, my heart feels better. And that's going to be worth something, you know. So this week, I bought some Count Chocula. This week, I bought some blueberry or frankenberry. I think I got the blueberry this year. It's nice to know that every year, the world's sugariest cereal comes out. And really, it's kind of too chalky and too sweet and not really that good. But it just feels right to have Count Chocula at the house. And Kim and the girls are like in a no-sugar type eating time. And they're like, why are you buying this? I said, I don't know. It's at the store. I have to buy this stuff because it's there. And I'm not strong enough to walk by the display and see it. Because. It's a just because thing. And that's all I have to say about the cereal at my house. It's just because. I did buy some good healthy stuff for Jordan. She gives me a list that says buy this kind and this kind, because otherwise she gets chocolate-covered Cheerios. It's Cheerios. It's Cheerios. It's not chocolate. Cheerios. It's all good. And I have to also confess that I'm very tired because I did something loving and foolish. We rescued a puppy from Tennessee, and she came home with us on Friday, 18 years ago, it feels like. No, it's just, she's really good. She's great. She cried for an hour and a half last night and made a ruckus and tore down her shower curtain, and but looks so sweet this morning and happy. Like, what? What? It's good. So we rescued a puppy. And she's from Tennessee. She came up with, as part of a litter of three, and we got the middle one, who was middle-sized. There was a bigger one that was an older brother that they said howled all the time. And then the little one that more resembles a beagle that was mischievous, and we got the peaceful, quiet one. Yeah. The one that's really, really smart, and she is, and very cute, and she's going to do great. And I love my family's reaction to having a puppy in the house. They cried, and they paid attention to the puppy, and I was all by myself. It was great. No, it was really good. It was great to see, you know, and Madison came home from college, and she was happy to see me. She gave me a hug and everything, and then puppy was there, and then that was it, and that's good. So Madison's home. We appreciate that, and we have a puppy now, and that was good. And so, believe it or not, as I was working through sermon notes this morning, I get up early and kind of work through them. Having the experience last night of the puppy being crying and whining, and I know why. This puppy hasn't had anybody consistent yet in her world. As soon as the door is closed, she can no longer see love. She has to be right by our side, and if somebody leaves the room, she gets really concerned. And if everybody leaves the room, she doesn't want to be there. She doesn't want to be alone. She's dying for somebody to stay. And when she sees somebody, like she's seen this now for like 2 or 3 days now, she's really surprised and really happy. Like, wait, somebody's here that was here before. And it's really, really good. So I love that innocent kind of place the puppy's at, but also breaks my heart because she's 5 months old and hasn't had that steadiness yet. And as she becomes used to us, knowing that if we all go to bed at night and she goes to sleep, when she wakes up, we're going to be there, she will feel so much better. She will relax, and most of her anxieties will go away. I know that from the training and the stuff that I've done. I owned a pet store and a grooming shop, and I've read all the books, and I know what she's going through. But yet, She has to go through it, and we have to go through it, so we're working on it. So we have a new puppy. Jordan says, your eyes are really glassy this morning. I said, yeah, tired. Because the previous night I was up late and got up really early so that she wouldn't have any accidents, and I was up late last night and up early this morning, and life is good. So that's where we are. We have building blocks of faith to talk about, and it's steadfast love. And steadfast love is an interesting, the word itself, steady and secure, held fast. It's not fast as in speed, like he's steady fast, like he's a sprinter that just keeps going. That's steady fast in race terms. But steadfast as in always, always steady, unwavering, consistent. You know what you're going to get. And fast as in not speed, but as in secure. He is always holding, always secure. So we're going to talk today about some promises that we rely on that help us know that God is steadfast. We're going to talk about how we can know that His love endures forever. And then we're going to talk about what our part is in this forever math problem. So what are some of the promises we rely on? There's always sunshine after rain. You know, that once a year we have Christmas. You know, at some point in the fall, school starts up again. Are these promises of God? These are just things in the calendar that we've come to rely on. The sun does come up every day. You know, that's kind of something God put in place. It's something that we rely on. The tides, we can meter the tides. We know when the high tide is going to be and the low tide, when it's going to be. We have a calendar. We have a watch. We have a lot of things that we rely on. But what kind of promises let us know that God is there and steady? He will never leave us or forsake us. That is a great promise. He made multiple covenants with His people in the Old Testament. A covenant is an agreement, a contract. I will do this for you. If you honor me, this is the covenant that I'm going to make, and I will hold up my end of the bargain. And so we know that He's made promises to us. And we know in the Old Testament there are times when the people believed in God, usually right after He rescues them, right? He would rescue them from a bad situation. They would cry out, God save us. God would hear their cry. He would save them. They would then celebrate and build an altar and say, we will follow you, God. We will follow you. Thank you. You are our provider and our Savior. And sure enough, they would become content and overconfident and start thinking of themselves and become selfish and immoral. And then they would walk away from God. And then it would get really, really bad. And so they would cry out to God. And God would save them. And they would be thankful and appreciative and become complacent and fall away and cry out. And He would save them. And the cycle happened over and over and over again. It's an unending cycle in the Old Testament. And I look at that and I say, why were they like that? And then I look in the mirror and say, why are you like that? Why are you like that? Why are we like that? Sure, I haven't ever melted down all of my gold and built a golden calf in my yard. I haven't done that. I don't have any idols that I've erected that are of stone. I haven't built any altars to other gods. I haven't done a lot of the things you might see in the Old Testament, but yet I get distracted. Yet, with my time and my energy and my heart, I may seem to worship other things. But God made some promises. from the very beginning, after Adam and Eve fell, he was already telling them that a Savior would come. Jesus was foretold. There was prophecy. There were things laid out that we knew that he was going to rescue us. And he did just that. The Old Testament and the Bible is filled with promises from God, and he always holds up his end of the deal. Let me read to you from Psalms. Psalms 103, verses 8 through 12, it says this: "The Eternal is compassionate and merciful." God is always there, always compassionate, always merciful. "When we cross all the lines, he is patient with us. When we struggle against him, he lovingly stays." He stays with us. We're changing. He's with us. He's changing us. He's convicting us. He's prodding us. He's wanting us to be different. "He will not constantly criticize, nor will he hold a grudge forever. Thankfully, God does not punish us for our sins and depravity as we deserve. In his mercy, he tempers justice with peace. Measure how high heaven is above the earth." God's wide, loving, kind heart is greater for those who revere him. You see, God takes all our crimes, our seemingly inexhaustible sins, and removes them. As far as east is from the west, he removes them from us. This is a huge God promise to us, and a very important God promise to us. Everything hinges on this: him not punishing us for what we deserve. Him casting aside all that we do. And the words here in the voice says, our seemingly inexhaustible sins. He takes all our crimes and he removes them. Wow, that is wonderful. That is great. That is a promise of God. And he is steadfast. You know, Psalms was written thousands of years before Jesus came and actually allows for this to be a once and forever payment. And that's what Jesus is, a once and forever payment for our sins. So how can we know that his love endures? On my calendar now in my office, next May, the 11th and 12th, I have a number written on the 12th. It's 39.3. It is a challenge that I'm going to try and take on personally, and by me personally, I mean my family is going to work with me and those around me to help me conquer a 39.3-mile weekend. It is a Saturday on the 11th, which is a half marathon, and on Sunday, a full marathon. Currently, I can't run a half marathon. Currently, my lungs don't let me do that. Currently, it's beyond what I can do. And I know that for me to succeed, it has to be more than just me and my willpower. I have to build up endurance. I have to have the ability to overcome a really hard week in training, a really hard run in training, a really hard race on a Saturday, and even longer race on a Sunday. Personally, I don't even know if I can do it. I don't know if the state of my body will let me do it. But I'm going to stand here today and say, I put it on my calendar. Now I've told other people about it. I've asked my family to help me, so they'll probably run with me and maybe run with me on that Saturday and cheer me on that Sunday. And I will do my best to overcome. And it's about endurance. So I have a plan, and it says I have to run 3 miles this day and 5 miles this day and then rest. And I've got to do 3 miles, then 6 miles and 3 miles, and then rest. And then I've got this week and then the next week, and the miles change, and I have to do different things. And I can through practice and repetition, build up endurance. It doesn't happen just once. I'm not as good as Jerry. I can't just once a year decide to go out and run. But he has a lifetime of hard work, and he still works hard. I saw him working hours and hours and hours in the hot sun with a rake and with tools, and he's a steady worker. So even though he doesn't run, he builds up his endurance in how he lives and how he works. And he's been steady at it. And so he has endurance. How do we build up our love endurance? How can we be steady in the way that God is, in how we love him and how we love others? Do you ever consider that your love needs to be practiced? That you have to build up endurance? That you have to be smart about how you prepare your heart? Because we have challenges every week in how we love. We have choices every week in what we do to feed our heart, to condition our heart. A heart that is looking to God for guidance is different than a heart that's looking elsewhere. If you are steady and loving and forgiving and acting in ways that are Christ-like, if we are serving others in the way that Jesus did, if we are loving in the ways that we read in the Bible, we will be steadfast. But your heart needs a workout. How do we do that? I would say we do that by engaging it in exercise. And exercise for the physical side is walking, running, conditioning, all those things. You can help your heart be healthy by what you eat, right? You eat better foods, you skip the Count Chocula, and you buy the good food, you know. And if you do right things for your heart, you know, bacon once a month rather than twice a day, you know, might be better for your heart, you know. It depends on which, you know, if you're listening to the pork union, bacon every day is good for you. You're listening to the other folks out there, it might not be so good to you. So somewhere in the middle is something. But for your heart, how are you exercising it? Has your heart been broken this week for somebody else? Have you walked a mile in somebody's shoes? Have you given of yourself in a way that was a sacrifice? Have you tried something really hard for the benefit of somebody else? We need to exercise our heart more often. In Psalms 103, verses 13 and 14, we're going to continue reading in there. And it says this: an earthly father expresses love for his children. It is no different with our heavenly Father. The Eternal shows his love for those who revere him. For he knows what we are made of. He knows our frame is frail, and he remembers we came from dust. So what does this mean? You know, I'm a dad, and so I'm no different, you know, in wanting to express my love to my kids, and I want to do that. You know, I show love for those who revere me. I don't know as if my kids revere me. You know, I think that they like me sometimes. I think that they appreciate the fact that we've overcome some hard things together. But revere is kind of different, right? Revere is like, wow. You know, but I'm not a wow kind of, you know, dad, really. I'm a good dad, don't get me wrong. I'm pretty happy. I've gotten little things, you know, the card that was made just for me that said the number one dad, you know, the little ribbon one that they got from the store, from Hallmark, that was made just for me. You know, the number one dad. And Madison got me a trophy. I got a trophy. It's in my office, right? What does it say? Number one dad. So I have a trophy in my office that says number one dad, right? You know, and when I talk, they smile sometimes. See? So that's good, right? But and so they, at least they like me, usually. You know, as long as I'm doing what they want, then it's really good. You know, and so it's great. But revere. I don't know if I've set out to be revered by my daughters. I have set out to love them and adore them and care for them and supply what they need, which sometimes is not giving them things they ask for, and sometimes it is giving them things they ask for. It's walking with them through hard things. It's crying with them when their hearts are broken. It is awful and great being a dad. There's only so much I can do. But my love will not change. God is steady and faithful. He knows us. He knows me. He knows the very dust that I was made from. He knows my weaknesses. He knows my patterns. He knows my heart. He knows that my frame is frail. And the same thing for you. But what I want us to know today, and the world may tell you different things. Those around you may sometimes not live in ways that this statement is true. At least you don't believe it to be true about yourself. But your life matters. Your life matters. Who you are, how you are, despite the circumstances, despite any lack of privilege or excess privilege you might have, despite all that we can do and all that we can't do, to our loving Heavenly Father, your very life matters. And how do we know this? From the very beginning, He promises us that He's going to save us. I will rescue you. I will heal your broken heart. I will remove the sin. I will repair our relationship. You will be able to be with me forever. That's what He promised. Jesus came because your life matters. I know some of the parents here have broken hearts when it comes to the relationship with their children. They've tried to supply for their needs and love them and cherish them and bring them up and do all that they can. Yet, life circumstances and hardship and different things have really pulled their precious child or their children in other directions. That is hard. There's parents here that have lost children. That is hard. The children of Adam are like grass. Their days are few. They flourish for a time like flowers in a meadow. As the wind blows over the field and the bloom is gone, it doesn't take much to blow us out of the memory of that place. How does that say that life matters? If all of us, as the children of Adam, are like grass and our days are few, we'll flourish for a time like flowers in a meadow. As the wind blows over the field and the bloom is gone, it doesn't take much to blow us out of the memory of that place. But to me, this is the amazing piece. In all of eternity, in all the things that are going on, in all of the world, you still matter. You are still known personally. He cares for you specifically. But the unfailing love of God is always and eternal for those who reverently run after Him. He extends His justice on and on to future generations, to those who keep His bond of love and remember to walk in the guidance of His commands. His unfailing love It's always there, always eternal. So we're puppy training, right? And we want good things for this puppy. And so we know that she has to learn certain rules. She has to behave in a certain way. She has to do things right. And it's great if she can, you know, sit and roll over and stay and do those things and you know, not make a mess in the house and not chew up the shoes and, you know, run in the road or do all the things that puppies would do if they were left on their own. If we weren't steady and consistent, if we let her raise herself, she would be just like she is now at 5 months old, having nobody to train her. She's acting as if she has no rules. And we have to have some rules. Otherwise, the wrong person is in charge of our house, and I don't want to be following around this little dog that thinks right now that she's the queen. And she almost is, but she's not. So we have to be steady and loving and consistent. And if she learns, she's going to have a wonderful life. If she doesn't learn, nobody's going to have a wonderful life. Right? But I don't want to minimize this. But God has been training us. Our life has been nothing but lesson after lesson after lesson. And sometimes he has to give us little treats, right? Good boy, good boy. You know, why are you making a mess? You know, why are you chewing on that? Why do you want to play in the road? Why are you doing this hard thing? Why don't you know that I'm here? I'm just in the other room. I'm coming back in. Don't go crazy. Don't. Yes. Really, I'm here. I'll be here tomorrow. My love won't change. God wants us to know that, right? And yet we panic, and yet we get distracted. We chase toys or chew toys, or we get on a scent of something and fall way off somewhere we're not supposed to be. You know, it's crazy. But God loves us in such a steady way. So what's our part? In Jeremiah 31, verses 1 through 3, it starts off this way. It says, this is what God has to say. There will come a time when I will be a God to all the clans and all the families of Israel. And they will be my people. That is what I, God, declare to you. So this is God making a promise that he will be God for everyone. It continues in verses 2 and 3. My people who survived the sword found grace as they wandered in the wilderness. When Israel went in search of rest, I appeared to them from far away and said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Out of faithfulness, I have drawn you close. It started with a time of prayer today. I started with the time of recognizing people that have overcome some things. We celebrated Tom being here. You know, he's been through quite the ordeal. Bill being here. Those are wonderful things to celebrate. We need to understand that we have choices to make. We always have a choice to make. In hardship, in hard times, in challenge, we can either draw closer to God and rely on him, or we can move away from God and go the other way. I believe we need to move towards God. Worship team, come on up. So, today's lesson is simply this. God keeps his promises. We don't see him. We sometimes see evidences of him. Sometimes it feels as though he's not there. He has promised us and he has shown us that he is. He keeps his promises. In him is our forever home. We all have been adopted. We all are on his rescue list. We're all over the place, whether we're little, middle, or big, whiners, distracted dogs, bayers that just make the night miserable. We're all over the place, but God has promised us that he will rescue us. We must keep his bond of love and walk in his commands. For us to be successful and love others into the kingdom, we must follow his commands and look to his love that is steady. So the question to ponder is this: how do we show others our forever love? I want to challenge you to exercise your heart. To exercise your heart. Care in hard places. Do hard things. And repeat it. And repeat it. And repeat it. Grow your love endurance. And personally, am I willing to accept his love and walk with him? Will you accept his love? Will you walk with him? Amen. Yes, yes. She's asking if we can pray for Bill.
Having quite a time.
You're having quite a time? Could you guys come up and let's pray? Do you want to have a seat right here? Do you want to have a seat right there? You want to sit down over here, Bill? Okay, we'll pray. All right, let's pray for Bill. Dear Lord, we love Bill. We appreciate the life that he brings here, the way he's invested in this church and your family here and his family. Lord, we pray for him now. He's having a hard time. He's not feeling well. We pray that you provide healing and comfort. Care for Bill, Lord. Show your love today. We pray this in your powerful name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, everybody.
You're welcome. We've got a few minutes before we have to pick up the littles downstairs. I'd love for all of us to take some time and greet one another. We do have some refreshments downstairs, some coffee and some treats, and so please don't rush out. We have Warren on back as an elder. Dennis is over here if you want to see an elder. Yeah, Jerry here is as one of our deacons if you want to talk and pray with somebody. I'll be available too. So thank you for being here. Let me say a prayer for all of us real quick here. Dear Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your steady love. We thank you for those that are overcoming. We pray that you help others continue to overcome. Bless this church. Bless these people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.